is, and today's daf is daf tzadi. We're dealing with the law that a farmer, so the Torah says that if a farmer hires a worker and the worker comes into his vineyard or into his field of wheat, the farmer is not allowed to say, no eating from my stuff. But rather, when the worker is dealing with, you know, final stage work, harvesting, packing, the worker is entitled to take a snack. He can't take too much. He can't use the knife to cut as much as he wants. He can't put into his own utensil, okel yachalositain. But he's allowed to fill himself up. The Gemara explains he can fill himself up. He can't eat, fill himself up plus more. That would be achila gasa. He couldn't do things to the food to make it more delicious that he would want to eat more. There are limitations on the what the employee can do. And the truth really is, the Gemara points out that this mitzvah is very similar to another mitzvah, which is a mitzvah that when a farmer has his animal doing work for him, threshing in the threshing floor, lo sachsom shor b'disho, you may not muzzle the ox while it's doing its threshing. You have to allow the ox to snack on the kernels that are on the floor. But it's similar, but yet it's different. You know, based on the pasuk of Kenafshecha, if a farmer muzzles his human worker, he wouldn't get lashes. He'd have to pay money, but he wouldn't get lashes, and it wouldn't be the lav. But if he muzzles his animal, and the animal goes and threshes muzzled, then he would get, in fact, lashes.
By human, you're over an ase, but not a lotase?
It's not an ase. It's... I guess you're over an assay, right?
I'm saying it's weird because on the one hand...
You're over an assay, right? Because he was... But you're supposed to allow him to eat. Right. But there's a special pasuk that if you muzzle him, you're putter.
Right. So it's... said you're only slightly over?
There's no lav. Maybe here there's no... There's no malkos. Clearly you're putter from malkos. But yeah, it seems like you are denying him what is his rightful due. You're doing something wrong. But yeah, there's no malchus. So now we get into the laws of lo sachsom shor b'disho. The very bottom here of Pei Testament Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braisa. Paros hamiraksos batvua. Cows that are threshing grain, but not normal grain. What type of grain? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Sheshorin so'orin b'mayim. They take barley and they soak them in the water. Umiyabshin osan batanur. After soaking the barley in the water, they dry it out in the oven. Vidashin osan biparos. And then they have cows threshing on this dried out barley pieces. Lahasir klipasan. To remove the shell. Vuhu, this is what's elsewhere called chushla. So the process of chushla. So this is not normal threshing. Normal threshing is you take grain right out of the field with the bran that's on it, and you have the animal walk on it so that the bran separates from the kernels. Here, the barley had already been threshed, I guess. It had been soaked, and it had been baked. And now you want to step on it to remove the externals of the barley to get to the flour that's inside the barley. So it's really, you know, a later stage. So that's one point. The second case is, now starting today's daf, hadashos bitruma uvemaser. An animal that is threshing grain that is already truma and maaser. So normally you'd only be obligated in Truma and Maaser way after the threshing once you make a pile. But here, he jumped ahead. He gave it, he called it Truma and Maaser before it was finished. So it's Truma and Maaser. And then he brings his animal on it to thresh it. So in these cases, if he muzzles the animal, Eino over Mishum Bal Tachsom, then there wouldn't be a violation of Lo tachsom shor b'disho, because as I mentioned, the language of the pasuk is lo tachsom shor, do not muzzle the ox b'disho in his threshing. So his threshing is a reference to food that basically is worthy for him. So if he's stepping on Truma and Maser, that's really not for him. That's for Kohanim. That's not for this animal. So that's not included in Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. And also, it's not including Chushla, because Chushla is something which is done after the produce is really fully prepared. Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho means don't muzzle the animal when it's doing activities prior to the completion of the produce, but not post the completion of the produce. So basically, from the Torah law, you would be allowed to muzzle your cow when your cow is threshing truma. You'd be allowed to muzzle your cow when your cow is walking on popped barley. However, avol mipnei maris ha'ayin, it doesn't look right. It looks like you're violating the Torah of Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. So because of appearances, you have to do something to show that you're not violating. So what do? Mevi bull, me'osu hamin, he brings a fistful of that type, a fistful of barley or a fistful of wheat. Vitola la bitrasklin shebepia, and he hangs it on a little bag that's around her neck. So the animal is eating. It has food right here to eat right away. Oh, wow, beautiful. Love it. Nice picture.
Rabbi, wouldn't you actually be obligated either to eat in service. This case?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be obligated to muzzle your animal? Or wouldn't you actually have
because
to
of the truma, you mean?
Yeah. You should not allow to be able to use an animal in this matter, since it's for sure that the animal is going to eat.
Okay, maybe so that's... But it's still a marasayin. You still have...
It's not a marasayin. You shouldn't be allowed to do it in the first
place. But it does... If you're doing it, it would look like you've muzzled an animal while threshing. So you still have to do this.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have to do this. I'm just saying that the whole act is, should be awesome. Of allowing your animal to...
Maybe once you muzzle it and you have this bag, it's okay. Okay. That's the first view of the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Mevi Karshinin, he brings Karshinin.
Vetch,
yeah, it's a type of vegetable. It's a lot, yeah, it comes up a lot in Mishnah Yisroim. Mevi Karshinin, he brings Vetch, Vitolala, and that's what he hangs on the bag next to its mouth. Shakarshinin Yafo Slam and Akol. Because vetch is the best thing that the animal likes to eat. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, according to the Ritva, is not really arguing with the Tanakhama. He's saying that even though you have to give it food, and really you'd be giving it the food that it's threshing, vetch is also just as good. Because vetch is the best...
Best
thing for the animals.
Doesn't have to be the same thing he's threshing.
If it's vetch, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. It doesn't have to be the same as what he's threshing. All right, so that's the Braisa. Asks the Gemara, or Mini, I'll challenge you. We learned in another Braisa. Paros hamaraxos bitvua, cows that are threshing popped barley. Eino ov mishum bal tachsom. Then you're not violating bal tachsom if you muzzle them. But if the cows are threshing grain that's already truma and maaser, even though it's not tisho, if you muzzle it, over mishum baal tachsom, you do violate the law of baal tachsom shor b'disho. So that's a contradiction. Because we just said that if you muzzle the animal during truma and maaser, it's not baal tachsom shor b'disho. It's just a drabbanon of marasayin. Another halacha, nachri hadash b'paraso shal Yisrael. If a guy is threshing using a Jewish person's cow, and the...
You mean owned by a Jew, the cow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's threshing his stuff, using his stuff. Rashi says, ain't an over my balim. The owners, even if they told the guy you know, muzzle up my animal and use it to thresh your grain. And Alehem Averas Lotachsom. The Goyim don't have the law of Lotachsom Shor B'disha. They have seven mitzvahs. This is not one of their mitzvahs. There's nothing wrong. So Nachri Adash B'Parasso Shel Yisrael. If a Gentile is given a Jewish cow, and the Jew lent him his cow, and the Jew says to him, use it and muzzle it while it threshes. So in over Mishum Bal Tachsom. So the guy doesn't violate Bal Tachsom. And the Jew doesn't violate.
It was a Jewish, yeah, right. Jewish cow.
This ain't over. Is it referring to the guy or the Jew?
Both. Both. However, Yisrael Adash Peparasso Shel Nachri, if a guy lends me his cow and I muzzle it while I'm threshing my produce over Mishum Bal Tachsom, I violate the law of Bal Tachsom Shor B'disha. Okay. So now, Kashya Truma Truma. We have a contradiction here in terms of a cow threshing Truma. Brisa number one says that a cow threshing Truma can be muzzled, Midoraisa. It's not Lo Tachsom Shor B'disha. It's not his threshing. It's just Marisai, and it looks bad, so put a bag around its neck. But Brisa number two said that if a cow is threshing Truma and you muzzle it, there is the prohibition of Lo Tachsom Shor B'disha. So it's a contradiction. What is the law when a cow threshes Truma? Kashya Masra Masra. You have the same contradiction in terms of threshing Maser. So when it says, Bishlama Truma, Truma, Lo Kashya. The two brisos about Truma is not a contradiction. What? Kan B'Truma. One is talking about a cow threshing Truma. Kan b'gidule truma. And the other one is talking about when a cow is threshing what grew out of truma. Truma that was planted, and things grew out of the truma. You took grains of truma, you planted them without eating that. You didn't give it to the kohen to eat. Rather, you planted it so that whatever it grows is truma, but it's only truma midrabana, what grows from truma. So since it's not truma d'oraisa, so really, midoraisa, it's permissible food. It's midrabanan that it's treated as truma. Midoraisa, it's permissible food. So then if you muzzled the animal when it was threshing that, that is the biblical prohibition of losachsom shor b'disho. Because biblically it is disho, it is permitted to him. It's only rabbinically that it's treated as truma. So that would be brisa number two that says that there is a problem with threshing truma muzzled, because it's referring to not real truma, it's referring to drabanan truma, that midoraisa really wasn't truma. Brisa number one that said threshing truma is not a problem, threshing truma muzzled is not a biblical problem. It's only marisayin that's referring to biblical truma. So biblical truma is really not permitted to the animal. Since it's not permitted to the animal, it's not a problem to muzzle it. It's not disho. So that's the answer. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'truma. One brisa is talking about real truma. Kan, brisa number two, is talking about b'gidule truma, with things that grew out of the truma. So the Gemara asks, Selamaser amaser. Kasha, but what are you going to do with the contradiction about Meiser? Bryson number one says there's no biblical prohibition in muzzling an animal when it's threshing Meiser grain. Bryson number two said there is a biblical prohibition in muzzling an animal when it's threshing Meiser grain. V'chitim, if you're going to tell me Meiser amaser, nami lo kasha. Meiser against Meiser is also not a contradiction. Kan b'maser, kan Bigidule Maser. One is talking about threshing Maser. One is talking about threshing what grew out of the Maser, if you planted it. So Bishma Gidule Truma. Truma. Okay, I can understand that there's something to talk about, you know, what grows out of the Truma, that Midrabanan, it is Truma. So then I have to tell you a Chiddush. Even though it's Midrabanan Truma, Midoraisa was permissible, so there's still a prohibition of Losachsom Shor B'disha. Elagidule maser, but if you are planting maser and what grows out of it, chulininu, that's not even maser, that's just chulin, it's nothing. So if it's chulin, of course there's the law of losachsom shor b'disho. I don't need a brisa to tell me that there's a law of losachsom shor b'disho on things that are not kadosh. That's the whole point of the pasuk, losachsom shor b'disho. The times we look at a mishnah, gidule tevel, if you take produce that has already been smeared in the pile, and it's obligated in Chumas and Meiser, became Tevel, and he planted it, but it was Tevel before he separated Chuma and Meiser. So whatever grew out of it is Chulin. And you can eat it Arai, until you can eat it temporarily until you make that pile and becomes obligated in Meiser, in Chuma. Because once you plant it, it loses the prohibition of Tevel. But if you plant Truma, whatever grows is also Truma. They made a decree. What was the reason for the decree? So as Rashi explains, if a person's going to have Truma and be able to plant it, and then what's going to grow is not going to be Truma, we're worried that there's a Jewish farmer who has Truma. He says, why should I give it to the Kohen? I'll just plant it. When I plant it, what will grow will now not be Truma, and now I can eat it. Or I could use it for myself. And there's another problem, that maybe there's a Kohen who will have Chuma Tameya, Chuma that's Tame, so really it's supposed to be burned. I say, no, I'm not going to burn it, I'm going to plant it. What's going to grow won't be anything. So it'll be fine. So that's a problem, because if he leaves it around, maybe he's going to end up eating Chuma Tameya. So therefore they said, in Chuma, what grows out of Chuma is Chuma, but other things not. As the Mishnah says, Gidule Tevel or Gidule Meister Sheni, what grows out of Tevel or grows out of Meiser Sheni are chulins. I don't need a brisa to tell me that you're not allowed to muzzle a cow when it's threshing chulin, and that if you muzzle a cow when threshing chulin, you're violating the Torah's law and you deserve lashes. That's the pasuk. So why talk about Meiser? Yeah, question.
So truma, planning truma, is kadosh.
It's day, right, but only midrabana.
Midrabana. And how about Maser? Maser,
whatever grows is now chulin already.
That's it.
That's right. Ella, so we're back to the question. Why does one Braisa say that muzzling an animal while threshing Maser is permitted midoraisa? And the other Braisa says that there is a prohibition midoraisa. Ella Lokash, you have to say it's talking about two different types of Maser. Haba Maser Rishon. Raisa number one was talking about Maaser Sheni. That's why it said that there is no prohibition biblically in muzzling the cow while threshing Maaser, because Maaser Sheni is not food permissible to laymen, because it's Mamun Gavoa, it's really God's food. God lets you eat it in Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's not called Disho. But Maaser Rishon, whereas the Raisa number two, which said that there is a prohibition of muzzling the animal while threshing the maaser, is referring to maaser rishon, because maaser rishon, you're supposed to give it to the levi, but then the levi can give it to anybody else. It's mutter lezarim. Everybody can eat maaser rishon. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. And it's private property. Maaser rishon is private property. So it's not mamun gavoa. So that could be called disho. Maaser rishon is called disho. That's included in the phrase disho. And there, there'd be a biblical prohibition in muzzling the animal while it's threshing Maaser Rishon. Alternatively, by the same alternative, I can tell you, Hava Hava Maaser Sheni, both Braisos are talking about Maaser Sheni. But Lokash, there's no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Meir, one is the view of Rabbi Meir, that's Braisa number one, and Rabbi Meir holds Maaser Sheni Mamun Gavoa, Maaser Sheni belongs to God. That's why it's not called Disho. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Braisa number two is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Hedyot. Since it's Mamun Hedyot, it is in fact called Disho. So the Torah's law, Lo Sachsom Shor B'Disho, applies to Maaser Sheni. Harabi Meir Damar Maaser Sheni Mamun Gavohu. Harabi Yehuda Damar Maaser Sheni Mamun Hedyot. So now, the Gemara deals with another question. This whole idea that the animal is threshing Maaser. Normally it only becomes maaser after there was a pile and the pile was smoothed out, brought it into the house. Here it's in the threshing floor. It hasn't even been made into a pile. How did it become maaser? Eichi dami, how did it become maaser? My answer is kagon, shiktimo b'shibalin. When even before he made the pile and it was just stalks, just recently cut, he said, okay, these 10 stalks, maaser rishon. So the Gemara asks, Sula Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you say it's Mamun Hedyot, V'abai Choma, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you can't eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, you need the wall of Yerushalayim. So since you need, has to be in Yerushalayim, how could it be called Disho, his produce? It's not his produce, you're not in Yerushalayim yet. Well, the case is Shadash Lefnim, Yichomas Beis Pagi. Yeah, the threshing is taking place within the wall of Yerushalayim. There was an area called Beis Pagi where they had extended the wall of Yerushalayim. In that area of Beis Pagi where they extended the wall of Yerushalayim, that's where this animal is threshing the Ma'aser Sheni.
Was it impossible that this animal could be threshing in other parts of Yerushalayim? I mean, the question is how could an animal have been threshing here? But if an animal could have been threshing in Yerushalayim, anywhere in Yerushalayim, except for the Har Bayit, who cares? Why is this question?
No, we usually assume when you talk about threshing, you know, if the Bryce is talking about an animal threshing on the threshing floor, it's normally not in Yerushalayim. It's some farm somewhere. It's in Metula, it's in Yisodot, it's in Moshav Matityahu, I don't know, it's in Shiloh, it's where there's agriculture. So the Bryce says, no, it has to be brought it to Yerushalayim, and there he was threshing it. And that's when there is a prohibition of don't muzzle it, because then it's disho.
Bring those produce to Yerushalayim,
right.
And then
they were threshing it.
Why there was a session? Stay there and do it here.
So that must be the case, otherwise what's the case?
Because we know it's already like a later stage threshing.
That was the other case. The other case, not the case of Meister. Okay.
That way, anything grows in Yerushalayim nowadays, they do the same thing.
We take the holiness off, we put it on a coin, and we throw away the coin.
So the vineyards are, you know, surrounding Yerushalayim.
We have to separate Shumas and Masros, but we can't eat Maser Sheni because we're not Tzohar. So we can't eat it. You have to be eaten in a state of purity.
Then
Truma also we can't because we're not all Tame.
So what's defined as Yerushalayim for purposes of Maser Sheni?
That's Masechet Shavuos. It talks about what area has been sanctified.
This suggests here that Beit Pagi, which is part
for
of a secondary wall,
that was fine for
Ma'aser Sheni. If today, could we say that Yerushalayim includes all of Greater Yerushalayim?
No, not for Ma'aser.
But if Beit Pagi was part of,
But they sanctified it. The Gemara in Shavuos has a whole process how you sanctify with Karbanos and a Sanhedrin. I mean, we haven't done that. Not yet.
The reason for it is because there is no Beit HaMikdash, or there is a lot of Tamei Arabs around. Which one?
No, Tamei Jews. We're Tamei Mace. We've all dealt with dead bodies. We've been in the same room as dead bodies. We're all Tamei.
So it has nothing to do with Beit HaMikdash being there or not being there?
No, because we're Tamei. Iba Yisema, perhaps I can give you another answer to the contradiction between the two brisos. Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'maser vadai. The brisa that says that there's no biblical prohibition of muzzling an animal in maser is talking about what is real maser. Kan b'maser d'mai. And one where we said it's only rabbinic prohibition of marasayin is when the animal was muzzled when it was threshing maser taken off of Demai. Demai is produce that is only a suffix. And midrabbanan, you have to separate masros. Shmuel says, Hasha da asas la'achi. Now, once you mention this idea of demai, chuma, chuma, nami lo kasha. Even the two brises about chuma, you don't have to talk about gidule chuma. You can give another answer. Kamba chumas vadai. If the animal is threshing, what is real chuma, chuma from that which was definitely obligated? So then, it's not asami d'oraisa. It's not the biblical prohibition of muzzling it. Kam b'trumas d'mai. But if the animal was muzzled when the animal was threshing truma that came out of d'mai, what comes out of d'mai really biblically didn't need to be truma. Biblically, it wasn't truma. So therefore, it would be a prohibition d'oraisa to muzzle it. So Gemara asks, Bishlama Maaser Demai Ika. We know that from Demai you're supposed to separate Maaser. Ela Trumas Demai Mi Ika. Is there even such a thing as being obligated to separate Truma from the produce of Amaratzim because we suspect that they didn't separate what they had to do? We learned Vatan Vadina Braisa talking about Yochanan Kohen Gadol in Masechet Sota. Afu bitalesa vidui, he stopped vidui masros, he stopped people from saying, you know, I did whatever I'm supposed to do because people weren't doing whatever they're supposed to do. V'gazer al adamai, and he made a decree that if you buy produce from an am haaretz, you have to separate again trumos. Well, you have to separate again maestros. Why? Because he had sent throughout the border of the land of Israel, that people were only separating truma. So you see that people were separating truma, so it was never a decree to have to separate truma from demai. El Lokasha can tell you this is the answer. Braisa number one that said that there's no d'oraisa prohibition in muzzling an animal while threshing truma, talking about trumas meiser from produce that you know needs to have separated from a trumas meiser. Remember, out of the meiser rishon, you have to give another 10% of that trumas meiser to the kohen as truma. So that if it's truma of the kohen, then there's no prohibition of losach from shorba dishok, but it's not dishok. Khan, the Bryce that said that even in threshing truma, there's a biblical prohibition. Betrumas meiser demai. When it's trumas meiser that came out of Amaretz's produce, out of demai. So demai is only a suffix that maybe you need to separate. In fact, most Amaretzim do separate. So then, when it's only a suffix, it's only midrabanan, that midoraisa would have been permitted without it being called trumas meiser. Therefore, it's called disho. And then there's a biblical prohibition of muzzling the animal while threshing that. A very interesting question was asked of Rav Sheshes. Let's say an animal's eating, but it's having diarrhea. It has the runs. Everything, whatever goes in right away, out comes excrement. So I'm out. So now, do you have to let it eat, or you're supposed to muzzle it now? Is it Mishum Damali Lahu? Is the Torah's law, let it eat because it's good for it to eat? Halo Malila, right now it's not good for it to eat. Odoma, maybe the Chazium Mitzdara, if it sees food that it's working on and it's in pain, Hashem doesn't want it to not be alleviated, that pain. V'chazium Mitzdara, here too, even though it's going to have the runs right away, if it sees the food and it doesn't get to eat, it's going to have pain. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said to me, too, we learned it in a braisa. Rav Yishim ben Yochai Omer, Rav Yishim ben Yochai said, maybe kashin v'tolala, bring vetch for the animal and hang it around its neck. Sha'a kashin and yafas lamin akol, because the vetch is the best thing. So shmami na, mishum demali lahu, that the Torah's law is to do for it what's good for it. Shmami na, that's a good proof.
It's not like Sar Balachayim. It sounds gorgeous, that it's a nice to do thing. It's not Sar Balachayim. It's not that.
Right.
And there's no concern for the damage to the produce?
Iboilu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Mao shiomer adam lenachri chason parasi vidosh ba. Is a person allowed to tell a guy, you muzzle up my cow and thresh with it, and you thresh your stuff with it? When do we have a law that you're not allowed to tell a guy to do what's prohibited to you? That's in regards to Shabbos. This is skila, because it's a very prohibited matter. It's the punishment of skila for it. But, you know, muzzling an animal while thrashing is just a lav, so that not. Maybe there's no difference. Tashma, come in here. We learn, if a guy is thrashing with a cow of a Jew, our Bryce, Eino over Mishum Bal Tachsom. He doesn't violate Bal Tachsom if he muzzled it. Mevud lo over. He doesn't violate Ha Isura Ika. But there is a prohibition. It's the wrong thing. It's Amir Lenachri. So he says, no. Bidinu the Isura Namileka. Maybe there's no prohibition either. I didn't try to save it, but since it's going to say in the end that Yisrael Hadash Biparaso Shal Nachri, if a Jew borrows a guy's cow and the Jew is threshing a Jew's grain, and he muzzles the cow over, then he violates Tana Reisha. That's what it says. When it's a guy doing it, ain't no over. But we haven't yet proven the answer to this question.
Whose grain is being threshed here?
The guy. According to Rashi, the guy's grain.
We don't care if the cow is owned by the Jew or the Gentile. It makes no difference.
No, it makes a lot of difference.
It does?
Yeah.
I thought we learned just before that you can't muzzle either one of them.
A Jew can't. Here, the question is, can a Jew tell a guy to do it?
Right, but it's not about the cow. Who owns the cow is irrelevant.
No, this is
right?
A cow that's owned by the Jew. That's the case. So Tashma coming here proof to Shalchulei Lavua de Shmuel. They once sent the following issue to the father of Shmuel. Halein Tori, these oxen, de Ganvin Armain, that the Arameans steal, umeganachin yason, and then they castrate them. So then they give it back to the Jew. So the Jewish owners used to ignore this. So now, is this allowed that the Jews can use such animals? After all, a Jew is not allowed to castrate an animal. So shalachlu, so the father Shmuel sent back, haramis avid buhu. You know, the owners, they're like, you know, they're like outsmarting the halacha. They're pretending that it was stolen, and they don't know. They don't know that it was stolen in order to be castrated. They just were stolen. So arimu alayu, we should be cunning with them, and we should say, no, you can't get benefit from such animals. Is dabnun, and you need to sell these animals. So what do you see? The prohibition of castrating an animal is not Isser Shabbos. It's not skila, it's a lav. But even so, you can't have a guy do it for you. So you see that there's amir l'nachri even in lavin.
Yeah,
so.
How's this a proof? Because in this case, it's my animal.
Yeah, same you're, over there. It's my animal.
Nah, but in the second case, you're instructing someone to do something to my animal that causes me benefit. Here, there's no in the first case, there's no benefit to the Jew in having the goy's wheat being threshed.
Doesn't matter. It's still, the point is that I am, well, Tosfos says that it's that he's threshing for me. It's Rashi who says he's threshing for himself. But even according to Rashi, the point is amir l'nachri. I can't tell a guy to do what's prohibited.
Right, but it's problematic because the proof does not... Does
okay,
not
exactly. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said it's not a proof because B'nai Ma'arava, the people of Israel who had sent this question to the father of Shmuel, they held like Reb Chitka, Da'amar B'nai Noach, Metzuvin El Asirus, who says that Goyim are not allowed to castrate animals. Ka'avri, so what was so terrible here is not that he was doing something for me that I couldn't do. What was so terrible was that these Goyim who were grabbing the animals and castrating them, the Jew is violating Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. The Jew is violating, don't put a stumbling block before an unawares man.
So Rabbi, we can't neuter a cat or a
That's
dog?
For sure. Yeah, it's hard to be a veterinarian.
So this rabbi holds that there's 8 Noahide laws, not 7?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, but so we can't, I mean, not only perform it, but we can't have a cat or a dog. Yeah.
Correct.
Not,
aren't there
the correct.
Of the it's like not even a live animal. Yeah.
That's correct. I remember once we had in YU, we used to have these big arguments about public policy. So Rabbi Lamb used to bring in all these speakers. So the guys in the yeshiva were always more right-wing than Rabbi Lamb. So Rabbi Lamb was, you know, pretty much of a Democrat, and all of us were Republicans. So we got into a whole thing about abortion. Years ago, when it was a big issue, the Republicans were saying, well, Torah says you can't kill a baby inside the mother's womb. We have to support Republicans because they're anti-abortion. So Rabbi Lamb said, are you going on campaigns against castration? Are you going on campaigns against neutering animals? Goyim also are not allowed to neuter animals. You're not fighting for that, so don't fight against abortion either. That was his response. But okay.
And was the rabbi saying that?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara here says. You know, Goyim also are not allowed to neuter animals, guys. Sava Rava Lameimar. Rava thought that because of what these owners were doing, Yimachru L'Shchitza. The owners who are allowing the Goyim to wink-wink steal their animals and then castrate them, or neuter them, should then sell the animals to be shechted. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, no, Dayan Shekanasta Lam Mechira, it's enough that you said that they have to sell them, and therefore they can even sell it for plowing and get more money. Shita, it's obvious, B'no Gadol Ki Acher Dami. So when we say that these Jews have to sell these oxen, they can sell it to their children. B'no Katan Mai, can they sell it to a child who's a minor? So Rav Acha Asar, Rav Acha said it's not, Rav Acha said it's not allowed, and Rav Ashi Shai, Rav Ashi said it's allowed. Mereimar and Marzutra, Ami Lahanu Trei Chasidi, some say Mereimar and Marzutra, some say these two tzadikim, Machalfi Adadi. So when they had animals that their Gai neighbors would go and neuter for them, they would then just exchange the animals one with each other. Okay, going back to the laws of don't muzzle the animal while threshing. Boy, Rami Bar Chama had the following question. What about Hoshiv Lakotz Bifia? He didn't put a muzzle on the mouth. He put a thorn in the mouth. So he can't eat because of the thorn. Mahu, what's that, Allah? That's the Hoshivla. He put the thorn in the mouth. That's Chasimim Al Yatzahi. That's muzzling it. Of course, it's a lot. Elas, the question like this. Yashiv Lakotz Bifia. Let's say a thorn got in the mouth on its own, and he didn't remove it, and he threshes with it. Mahu, what's the law? Another question. Here, Bitzla Rimi Bachutz. He puts a lion outside of the threshing floor to scare the animal from eating. Mahu, what's the halacha? Here, Bitzla, he puts the animal there. Chasimim Al Yatzahi. That's a great muzzling. Of course, that's prohibited. Ela Rabitzla Rimi Bachutz. If what happens if a lion sits there and starts roaring, the animal's all scared, he doesn't chase the lion away and he threshes with the animal. Mahu, what's the halacha? Is that a violation? Another question. Hamid Bnami Bachutz. The animal is threshing and he puts the child outside. Child of the cow outside, so that's why it's not eating. So Mahu, is that considered Baltachsom Sharbatisha? Haisatzmeyalamayim, let's say it was thirsty, and because it's thirsty, it's not going to eat. And that's when he's threshing. Mahu, what's the halacha? Parasla katvalya al gabe disha, let's say he puts the skin on top of the grains that are being threshed, so the animal can't eat, but he's not muzzling the animal, he's just putting an obstacle between the animal and the item. Is that a prohibition of lo sachsom shor b'tisho? Pshot miyachad. At least we can resolve one of these questions. The Tanya went in a brisa rashoi bal para lahariv paraso kedei shetochal min adisha harbe. If I am renting out my cow, I can first starve my cow so that when you have rented my cow to thresh your grain, it'll eat a lot of your stuff. Or rashoi bal abayis. And you who have hired the cow are also allowed lahatir pkia amir to open up a whole, package of hay lifna behema in front of the animal to cover all the grain kedei shelo tochal min adisha harbe, so that it doesn't see a lot of the grain there and it doesn't have much to eat from. So you see, at least covering is allowed. Well, maybe not shiny house. Maybe over there, covering with hay is allowed. The ka'achla, because you can still get through the hay and eat, you just eat less. But covering it with a leather blanket where it's not going to get to anything, that wouldn't be allowed. By the same alternatively, we can say, Rashoi balabayis lahatir pki amir lifnei behema. The owner is allowed to put hay on top of the grain in front of the animal, so it won't eat a lot. Meikara. There, he did it initially before it began the threshing. Kedei shelo tochal harbi min adisha, so that it not eat a lot. But we don't see that while the animal's threshing, you could come with a leather cover and put it on top so that it not be able to eat, or that it not eat. Boy minei Rav Yochanan Rav Simai. Rav Yochanan asked the question, Rav Simai. Chasama mi bachutz. Let's say before he brought it into the threshing floor, he put the muzzle on and then he brings it in. Mahu, is that prohibited? So questions like this. Is it shor b'disho? Amar Rachmana. Hashem says, don't muzzle the cow while it's doing his threshing. Hala b'disho. And here you muzzled it before it did its threshing. Older, or maybe the point is, lo tadush b'chasim, Amar Rachmana. Hashem is saying, I don't want you to be threshing with a muzzled cow, because as we've learned, it's not fair to the cow. It's not good to the cow. Amar lo, Sir Rav Simai responded to Rav Yochanan, mi beis avicha atalameid. Learn from your father who was a Kohen. The Pasuk says, yayin v'shechar al teish datu v'necho yitzcha b'voachem. The Pasuk says, don't drink wine when you go into the beis hamikdash. What are you going to say, b'voachem u'da'asir? You're only not allowed to drink wine in the beis hamikdash. Hamishti, but to get drunk beforehand, umeil, and to walk in, shari would be allowed? Of course not. Hashem says you have to distinguish between holiness and that which is not holy. The Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to be drunk in there. Well, just like over there, it means b'shas bia lo tehe shichrus, at the time of walking in, you shouldn't be drunk. At the time of the threshing, there cannot be a muzzling. Taner Rabbanu Lindin Abraisa. Hachosim es hapara b'mezaveg b'kilayim. Potter, a person who muzzles the cow, but somebody else did the threshing, or someone who ties the ox and the donkey to get into the wagon, but he doesn't lead them, he doesn't make them walk, he's exempt. Who gets the malchus? The one who actually does the threshing with the muzzled animal, and the one who leads the kilayim, makes the kilayim animals pull the wagon. Itmar, we learned, what happens if he stops it from eating by screaming at it? Or in higa b'kol, or he makes the kilayim animals move by screaming at them, using his voice. Rabbi Yochanan says he deserves lashes. Rish Lakish amar pater. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayev, because it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Akimas piv hav yamaisa. Moving his mouth is an action. Rish Lakish amar pater, because kala lo havi maisa. Sound is not an action.